Welcome to the Georgia 2024 show, and we're back into the new year. Bill, we're past the election, and now we got to focus on the real stuff that's happening down at the grassroots level to try to make sure we get better elections going forward, because this one wasn't really good, right? I mean, at least there's some problems out there.
Oh, there's talk all over the country that while the presidential election turned out the way that most would like, many of the races are non-understandable. There's funny data showing up all over the place. And believe it or not, there are places that are still counting.
Yeah, unbelievable. So we're going to focus on that. That's going to be one of CDM and the Georgia Record's big priorities into the new year. And because we have to keep the pressure on, so in all the special elections and in 26, we can move further towards saving our republic. We're brought to you by the Georgia Record, georgiarecord.com. Please sign up for our no-ad subscriptions. We're really ramping up the ads just to bring in the revenue because we're expanding in many ways. We'll talk about that in the future. But if you don't like the ads, you can pay us $10 a month or $100 a year and get all of our 13 digital properties with no advertisements. So please support us there, and you're supporting free media. And it's the price of a cup of coffee or two a month. Thank you, Bill. And please sign up for our social media, CDM1 on Rumble, and our X channel is growing nicely, and we appreciate that. And we're going to focus on X. We're streaming on X, on Getter, on Rumble, on Georgia Record, on CDM.press. You can find us everywhere. All the archives are there on podcasts. You can listen to us there if you're in the car or whatever. But we're expanding, and we're going to talk about that a lot. So, Bill, what do we have today on the show?
So we're gonna cover what happened today with the Lake and Riley trial and the finding and the outcomes. We'll also go a little bit beyond that and think through what this may mean and the response or lack of response by many of the areas around the country and what that might mean as we go forward. Ignoring it is not going to work, so we're going to discuss that. We'll also look into a bit more of the some of the medical stuff that's coming out and some of the effects that we believe are going to happen as the Trump administration gets into place and begins to make change. There's some very beneficial things we think can happen there. We're going to hear from David Cross, notable election integrity advocate and expert here in Georgia. He's already found some funny stuff, believe it or not, here in Georgia's database from the Secretary of State. He's going to take us through that and ask some questions. We're not at the point of drawing conclusions yet, but there'll be places for folks to do their own research in their own counties. And then we'll talk a little bit more about what's going on more broadly with Trump's promises and campaign as they get ready to step back into the White House and get their administration into power. And we'll look at some odd things that are going around the world that just seem non-understandable for reasons that will become apparent. So
and that, we'll get a full slate. That's become what you're good at and what CDM's good at, Bill, is just making people aware of what's happening that they may not be aware of. And we got to keep spotlight on certain things as we go through this transition, because there's going to be all kinds of nefarious activity to stop the Trump agenda and the MAGA agenda and America First agenda from being implemented. So we're going to be the voice of truth out there and transparency and sunlight no matter what. So we're looking forward to that. And we're looking forward to 25 as we move to save the republic. So let's bring in actually, you want to talk about some things first, right, before we get to David Cross?
Yes, or we could start with one of our sponsors, if you'd like, whichever you'd like to do first.
Yeah, why don't we run an ad from David Cross so people get an idea of who's coming.
Thanks. Okay, very good.
This is a special report.
Knowing how to invest your money is harder than ever before. Dealing with stock market volatility, record debt, and terrorist attacks requires new thinking. At U.S. Asset Management, we can help you see the world more clearly so that you can move beyond the chaos and invest with confidence. Call us, visit us online, or drop by our office. U.S. Asset Management, helping you make better decisions with your money.
Well, I'll flip it to you, Bill.
Okay. So today, the Lake and Riley trial came to a close. And there was, in fact, a verdict rendered in the trial. Those who've been tracking it will recall that the defendant waived his right to a jury trial. And so the findings and the ultimate verdict came directly from the judge. Let's go ahead and see what the judge had to say.
Illegal alien accused of killing Lakin Riley, hearing the verdict now. Let's watch.
Count one, malice murder. I find the defendant guilty. Count two, felony murder. I find the defendant guilty. Count three, felony murder. I find the defendant guilty. Count four, felony murder. I find the defendant guilty. Count five, kidnapping with bodily injury. I find the defendant guilty. Count six, aggravated assault with intent to rape. I find the defendant guilty. Count seven, aggravated battery. I find the defendant guilty. Count eight, obstructing or hindering a 911 call. I find the defendant guilty. Count nine, tampering with evidence. I find the defendant guilty. Count 10, Peeping Tom, I find the defendant guilty. I certainly will allow both sides to look at this if you want to do it. The next step is sentencing. I'm prepared to go forward with that now, or if either side suggests that you need a few minutes, an hour break or something to do that, then I'll certainly do that as well. Consider that.
Let me just take this down for a minute and we'll make a comment. You know, and many folks like the fact that this was brought to a verdict and the defendant was, there was a finding and the defendant in this case was found guilty. People feel good about that portion. There is a question of what is justice in this case. And we're not going to go into all the details because we don't need to, but most people are aware that this was a very heinous murder, a very injurious murder. And especially of an innocent young lady that certainly had no reason to believe that she was in danger as she went for a jog or a walk or whatever she was doing. But many people were hoping that this would receive what they believe to be justice. And justice in this case would be the ultimate penalty for this gentleman. We saw that as folks looked at, you know, the potential outcome. Even Colton Moore, when it became apparent that the judge and or the district attorney in this case might not be leaning toward asking for a death penalty, many weighed in and said, you know, in this case, if there's ever a case for such a penalty, this would probably meet the criteria for that. Lakin Riley's own mother spoke before the court to relate their suffering. And I will share that, although there's another piece that we won't play on the show tonight.
He ripped away every beautiful memory we will ever be able to make with her again. This horrific individual robbed us all of our hopes and dreams for Lakin. Your Honor, I'm asking you to please give Jose Ibarra the same thing he gave us when he made the choice to take Lakin's life and destroy ours. He showed no mercy on Lakin when she was begging for her life. There's no end to the pain and suffering that he inflicted on her family and her friends. I'm asking you to please give this monster life without any chance of parole so that he never gets the chance to hurt anyone else ever again.
So, as I said, a number of folks weighed in thinking that this would be an appropriate case for a death penalty. However, the DA, one Deborah Gonzalez, apparently reported that she would not be seeking the death penalty in this case. And notably, apparently she has backing or had backing from George Soros. So this is one of the DAs that we've spoken of in the past that has been able to win their seat with the help and funding and such directly or indirectly from George Soros. So is this stage of going through this trial an outgrowth of what she has been put in place to do? We're not able to make that judgment as we sit here, but as I said, a number of folks did weigh in and say, you know, why is this guy not getting the death penalty? And in fact, the judge rendered a ruling that said that he will be sentenced to life without parole for the killing of Lake and Riley. So ultimately found guilty. Good.
Well, Bill, there's more people that are culpable here. I mean, the leadership of Georgia, which said nothing and even maybe even enabled.
Well, and that's
Democrats to come in should be held accountable here, right?
That's a very good point. And we're going to roll that into our next discussion, which will be a broader one around the fact that this gentleman has gentleman is reservedly used. His brother and many others are members of a gang. We've reported on this in past months. The gang is known as Tren de Aragua. It means train of Aragua or train to Aragua. And they began in the prison system, essentially, down in Venezuela, have formed a presence with thousands of members in many of the countries down in South America, and now are beginning, and very frankly, are beyond beginning, taking a hold in cities across the U.S. So to your point, we want to question why was this let go to this point that this gentleman had the ability even to be here in Georgia and to take this young girl's life. They're part of the reporting that went on over the last days. The facts came out that he was in New York and was given a flight, apparently paid for by the government. We believe the federal government, but it might have been through an NGO of some type, to come to Atlanta. You'll recall that we saw Senator Colton Moore and colleagues approach a location in the Hartsfield Airport earlier this year and find that, in fact, undocumented or what they in the room called recently documented travelers were being moved through. And when he tried to take a video of these people, they immediately stopped him and essentially tried to take his phone away so that he couldn't have pictures of any of the people.
Assaulted him, yeah.
Yes. So all of this begins to paint a picture of, one, culpability at a number of different levels. Culpability at federal level. How was it that he was granted the ability to travel across the U.S.? How was it he was granted the the opportunity to have that flight paid for ostensibly by funds that ultimately came from the federal government? How was it that he was able to come through whatever means he did to come into the state of Georgia? Mm-hmm. And was that the same thing that Colton Moore and his colleagues had found earlier this year? And perhaps exactly to your point, why was this never followed up on?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but did Kemp ever address publicly the Hartsfield Airport incident?
Not that I've ever heard, no.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I don't have it with us this evening, but Colton Moore earlier today called out that he had spoken on the floor of the Senate, the Georgia General Assembly, the Senate floor, and had given a report on what he had found when he explored Hartsfield Airport at the behest of a whistleblower who had spotted what was going on. So this was not a secret. This was spoken of on the floor of the Senate. Nobody did anything to investigate it that we can see. And that goes straight back to your question. Does that create culpability on behalf of the people that should have taken action in one way or another, but didn't. And that, I think, is going to be the question, you know, to examine as we go forward.
Well, it may not give, you know, leadership legal culpability, but it damn sure gives them moral culpability. I mean,
I think that's exactly true. Here's the statement, by the way, from the DA saying they were not going to, they wouldn't seek the death penalty. And they really, really weren't going to seek it in most cases, if any. So we looked a little bit more broadly today as this story became known. We decided to take another look at what's going on across the country, because what's happened elsewhere may give us a hint at what may be happening here in Georgia, even as we speak. Many, many other outlets are reporting that Trinity Aragua has a foothold in up to 16 states, and Homeland Security is reporting that themselves. Here is an example of those. Now, you can see that some are out west, but note that Tennessee, North Carolina, Virginia, Georgia, and Florida in the southeast all are reporting and are known to have a presence of Trinity Aragua, and very frankly, maybe MS-13 as well. We interviewed, if you recall, J.J. Carroll, an expert in both trafficking and the insertion of especially illegal immigrants with a criminal background in the U.S., and he reported that the gangs in some cases will fight between one another, but in other cases may be collaborating to get a better foothold in certain areas. One of the other things we wanted to look at was, since this shows that they're in Georgia, we're in Georgia, and a segment by, I believe this came from the New York Post, showed that they indicated they were in Athens, Georgia, where was Lake and Riley murdered.
Yeah.
Right nearby Athens, Georgia. Now, is that the only place? We don't believe so. You'll recall that, again, going back to what Colton Moore had reported, that his findings indicated some people, as they came in, were told to go to certain locations, one of which was, I believe, Chatsworth,
yeah,
Georgia. So it isn't just Athens, and it would be wrong for us to assume that that's the case. We also don't want to suggest that the town has been taken over. I don't think that's correct either. But just a presence of this kind of gang group, whether it's 10 people, 50 people, 100 people, or 500 people, doesn't really matter. The potential for violence obviously is there. The potential for more harm to innocent people is obviously there. And there's really no, that I can come up with, no solid explanation as to why folks would not be looking into this, both within that area, but more importantly, making it known that we have a problem in Georgia so that it can be fought.
Very, not depressing, but very concerning. And we need to force our government to deal with it.
It isn't depressing, but it is a call, I think, to action.
Yeah.
You know, we, as we've gone through this past, 4 years, when it comes to elections, we've found out more and more and more about what our, I'll call them our legislative leaders, quote unquote, will not and will avoid doing. And here's a good example. Many of the Democratic leaders across the country are actually refusing. Think about this for just a minute. Refusing to comply with Trump's stated immigration policy, which will be to take folks that are here illegally, especially the folks with a criminal background or a gang background, and deport them quickly, effectively out of the country. Here's a group of people that are willing to stand up and say, no, we're not going to do that. You know, you've got a mayor of Boston, a governor of Massachusetts, governor of Illinois, Chicago mayor. Why would they be doing this? You know, what are they going to say, God forbid, if something like what happened to Lake and Riley happens in their areas? And I'd be willing to venture a guess that it probably already has, whether it's been identified as gang violence or not.
They don't really care about that. They just care about power. So, you know, and they're going to try to maintain power and our job is to call them out and to support the Trump administration's efforts. I mean, you've heard Tom Homan say, look, there are red lines that if you cross in certain jurisdictions, you're going to break federal law and you'll be held accountable. So, you know, I think that's where we're at.
That's right. I think that's one of the most important things is to call them out by name as soon as they seem to be doing this. I can understand, and most people can understand, a difference in certain policy, but this is not a policy decision that can be ignored. These immigration plans have to do with the safety, security, and in some cases, survival of certain people in these areas. It was shocking over the last couple of days to hear that Los Angeles, the city, has elected in their own to become a sanctuary city. Mm-hmm. This notion of sanctuary cities is the foundation of what is keeping some of these people in place. It prevents certain actions, at least under the current administration, from being taken to remove people or to incarcerate them for doing certain things. It's almost it's kind of a hands-off policy in certain areas. Athens is a sanctuary city, as an example. Now LA, one of the largest cities in the country, has elected to become a sanctuary city. And I'm sure we're going to hear, if it hasn't already been said, that they intend not to comply with Trump's policies.
We're headed for a showdown. I mean, you know, I think it's these people are weak, however, and they're not strong. And when they are presented with, you know, force of will, I think they will buckle and we get our country back.
I think that's right. I think one of the things that people have gotten unused to is the notion of justice, real justice. Mm-hmm. And sometimes justice is harsh. Mm-hmm. At the same time, we saw the effectiveness of a strong approach in what happened to ISIS, as an example. During Trump's administration, they went in. He had been told up to that it would take years to get rid of ISIS. He goes to the right people in the military and finds out, well, we can do it, sir. It'll take us, 6 weeks to a couple of months. And I think it was actually underneath that time frame. Yeah. It was quicker than that.
And I think it pointed out that someone in our government was actually enabling that group, didn't want to take them down. And so that when the policy changed, it was quick.
I think that's right. I think, too, we as Americans have to get reused to the idea of real justice. There are things being done that are illegal and are against people's oaths, potentially. What does that mean? What are the penalties? What are the penalties supposed to be for these things? And are we prepared to actually see those come to fruition? That's a question. People are arguing, oh, well, these things they're too harsh. It isn't fair. It isn't this and that and the other. Well, sometimes when you have laws that need to be enforced, things can appear to be aggressive and strong, but they need to be done to prevent, the greater sacrifice of innocence, like Lakin and like others. So that's the open question, I think, as we sit here today. Are we ready for those types of actions? And would we understand, should they come to fruition, where we are deporting people and we are, forcing the issue?
Well, I think it's going to happen. So it's going to be an interesting few weeks. And as I said, our job is to spread sunlight on the nefarious behavior and to keep the pressure on those that are not following the law and not working for the American people. Real quick before we move on, I want to talk about Christmas is coming, to switch gears a little bit. And you're looking for interesting gifts, go to cdmstore.net for our audio audience, cdmstore.net. You can't see the Make America Healthy Again if you're just listening on audio, but this shirt is flying off the shelves. What a great conversation starter for Thanksgiving or for the Christmas dinner. And look at all the other merch designs at cdmstore.net. Do we have Mr. Cross yet, or do you have more to go through first?
I have a couple more things, but he should be joining in just a couple of moments, I'm hoping.
There he is.
Let's,
Oh no, that's something you put up.
Yeah. So one of the other fascinating things that's going on is, and you brought it up, this notion of health and the fact that we are, if you listen to Kaylee and Casey Means, and if you listen to RFK Jr., we are experiencing health effects that we shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. We are sicker. We are heavier. We are more prone to chronic disease than really any country on the planet. And we should not be in this case. We have more technology. We spend trillions more than we did, when I was a child and when my parents were kids. And yet we're sicker. Why is that? And so one of the thought processes that RFK has brought forward is perhaps we are getting bombarded with all these things regarding health so frequently that we can't make sense of it all. And we end up getting told by perhaps doctors, perhaps others, oh, we need certain medications to make us, to make us better. But in fact, are those medications serving us or disserving us? And it's notable that there's only two countries in the world that allow medical advertisements on television, U.S. and New Zealand. And some would say New Zealand is even more screwed up than we are.
Yes.
I want to play this, and then we'll discuss it just for a moment, and then we're going to bring our guest in. So let me play this for just a moment.
Intimidated by the agencies. I know how they work and I know how to change them. And most of those changes you do not need Congress for. The President Trump could have done it, had the power to do it himself. And President Biden has the power to do it himself. And I'll give you an example. With a stroke of the pen, you can change back the rule that allows pharmaceutical advertisers to do direct to consumer ads on television. That's one of the big problems. That's why one of the reasons we have this entrenched agency capture, not only of Congress, because they control the airwaves, they control the evening news. 75% of the revenues for those evening news shows for, Anderson Cooper is coming from Pfizer and other pharmaceutical companies. So, and those companies are dictating content on those shows, and they dictate the official narratives. And they're able then to exercise huge control over Congress. So Congress is terrified of them. But with a stroke of the pen, you can say this is not good for the health of our country, which it isn't. We spend three times more than any other country for pharmaceutical drugs because of all this advertising. And we have the worst health outcomes of any, I think we're 79th in the world in health outcomes. Because there's only rule that allow pharmaceutical advertising on TV. One is New Zealand, the other is...
I'm going to go ahead and pull that down because we've got a little technical with that video. Let's take a quick look at what he's covering, which is this. And that is a substantial fraction of many of the network's revenue is coming from Big Pharma. And keep in mind, this doesn't happen in most of the countries around the world. You could debate whether we're talking about 160 countries or more, but most of them don't do this. They don't allow these pharma ads to go on television. And what's interesting to me is when you actually look at it, you can begin to get a sense of this is not a small problem. There's lots of shows that have, bear with me for a second, have lots of support directly from Big Pharma. So when it comes to what they're going to report on that show, do you think that those people feel free to say anything that they find is correct?
That's an interesting point, Bill, because it's not so much that they're selling the drugs to you. It's that they're controlling the media. That is the reason for this advertising, because they have captured the decision-making at the media companies, right?
That seems to be one of the key dynamics is... if you're getting, we'll look at Comcast. If you're getting $1 billion from a subsection of Big Pharma, are you going to start talking about concerns about shots, about concerns about, things to do with diabetes and weight loss that seem to be coming up in studies that would indicate concern? You're probably going to think twice, and you may actually, theoretically, you could get told you better not.
Yeah.
Who knows? But here's an example of some of the shows that and we kind of bypass them. You don't notice them unless you're paying attention. But this is like sort of like the Mockingbird media. Once you've seen it, you can't unsee it.
Brought to you by Pfizer.
We're moving into uncharted territory.
Millions of students will now have to stay home.
The financial market's in free fall.
Good Morning America is brought to you by Pfizer.
Good Morning America.
Okay, let's get right to the disturbing news.
You are looking at the faces of the nearly 200,000 American lives lost to the virus.
This week with George Stephanopoulos is brought to you by Pfizer.
Pfizer believes that the booster is safe for every eligible American right now.
We are looking forward to be able to vaccinate all these vulnerable people.
Is it time to go farther? Is it time for vaccines to be mandated at major institutions?
I think so, George.
This portion of CBS This Morning, sponsored by Pfizer.
Welcome to CBS This Morning.
Okay, when we see that, and then we factor in what we reported in this past week regarding the studies by the McCullough Foundation and supported by Nick Hulcher and Dr. McCullough himself, and looking at this burgeoning evidence of increasing cardiac arrest and resulting in deaths, and it's continuing to increase. Now you can begin to see, well, what might have kept people from looking more deeply into the VAERS data, into the other studies that were out. And in fact, now when we go back, you can actually find reports where even the CDC early on admitted myocarditis was being experienced in very young children, which it shouldn't be. Kids don't get myocarditis in any substantial fraction.
This looks very calculated, Bill. It looks calculated from decades before when they put this rule in place. It looks like they had a plan to control the media so that they could do the vaccines, you know, nationwide. I mean, it looks like that to me.
Well, and I think that's what I'm hoping that you're going to see from all facets of the Trump administration as they go into effect. So RFK, along with others, is going to be working on the ability to shut down this messaging and their influence potentially, if there is such, but we believe there is, over broadcast television and such. And in addition, you're going to see others working on getting rid of the blanket immunity that was passed back in the 80s that allows vaccine makers to be immune from lawsuits to do with the effects of their vaccines. You know, why would you give anybody blanket immunity? And we saw that with one of the laws being proposed here in Georgia, stamped on it immediately, and nobody could explain why. So I'm sorry, go ahead, Todd.
Oh, I was just going to say, I mean, even with that blanket immunity, they still game the system because they said one vaccine was approved, but that one wasn't available in the U.S. So they said, well, this one's just like it, but legally it wasn't. So it was a bait and switch. So even with that blanket immunity, they played a game on us.
That's right. That's right. So many things were presented one way, but then done a different way. And you can't miss it. So do we want to take one more quick break, or should we welcome our guest?
Let me just talk. We're talking about health. Let's talk about this. The wellness company, twc.health, /CDM for our audio audience. If you use promo code CDM, you get 10% off. Check out all their emergency medical kits. This is the travel kit. It's very nice, well done. And I've used it traveling. And there's also the contagion kit for respiratory issues. There's the emergency medical kit, which has bioweapon defense, which has COVID-like defense, which has antibiotic defense. And what happens is if you're sitting home and the pharmacies are closed or the streets are locked down, you have drugs in your house that you can use online with a doctor and talk to them via video, and you'll be taking care of your family that way. And with the threats of World War III from the Biden administration, I think it's the smart thing to do. And we use these products and we're recommending them wholeheartedly. So take care of your family. twc.health/CDM. Promo code CDM. All right. Let's bring Mr. Cross in.
All right. David Cross, thank you for making time for us again, sir.
My pleasure.
I see you're not alone this evening. You have good company.
No, I've got the big guy here with me.
The boss. All right. All right. Well, I'm glad you were able to make a little time for us and join us. You had a very interesting set of discoveries, and I'm not going to steal your thunder. I'm going to let you describe what you found and take us through it. I do have the video that you posted available whenever you would like it. So you tell me how you would like to proceed.
All right. So here's the first thing. So this is not my discovery. This is a friend of mine who is in New South Wales, Australia.
Wow.
You know, and let's see. Hey Siri, what's the current time in New South Wales, Australia? Oh, she's not listening. Hey Siri,
Siri's asleep over there. Australia.
Oh, come on, David. You should have been ready.
It's 11:36 a.m. All right. So we've been having conversations for like the last three and a half years or so.
Mm-hmm.
And so my friend Narelle, she is fantastic at like looking at the details, digging into this kind of stuff. And I got to give her total props on finding this. We don't know what it is, but I do want, you know, and we're trying to figure out what it is. All right. And so Narelle has got some really interesting questions about what's going on. She has a spectacular eye for detail and she spotted this. So if you would, Bill, play like just like the Georgia part about what's going on there. So we can see like with the big picture.
Okay. You tell me
what we need to do. We're starting at the Secretary of State's website. On the top left, it says sos.ga.gov. We're going to go over here to Elections and Election Division. We're going to scroll down here to this menu that says Election Data Hub on the right-hand side. It's initially going to open up the hub for voter registration. What we want to see is down here, the Turnout Hub. This tells you how many people turned out. Now, we're going to tell this thing to go interactive so we can use the map and watch it update things. And so what this thing is telling you is that in the state of Georgia, the turnout was 5,291,872. So almost 5.3 million. If I just rank these people by gender, again, it says 5,291,000. If I unclick female and male and other, it's going to give you, it'll tell you that same number, 5,291,000. But if I now click on male, it gives you 2.2 million, female, other, and now the total number is less than what we saw before. Right now it's 5,088,000.
Now, is that where you wanted us to pause it?
Yeah. So that's perfect. So what it's showing you there is that the Secretary of State's data is saying nearly 5.3 million people voted, but if we look into their data and say, okay, so break it down for me by age or sex or nationality or whatever, it always comes up to a number that's 203,285 votes short of what the official number is. Now, again, I'm not like trying to like, you know, cast aspersions and say, hey, this is something. We don't know what it is, all right? And so the Secretary of State's website should have something on here that shows how things are reconciled. But as it stands right now, it appears that there's 203,000 people in Georgia that don't have an age, don't have a sex, and don't have a race, right? We don't know what's causing that. So we're still trying to figure out what's going on. I've reached out to Gwinnett County. We don't have an answer there. I've reached out to Peach County, of all things. And we'll be reaching out to a couple more counties to see if they can tell us what's going on. Some of the speculation is that maybe it's people that don't want their personally identifiable information, you know, released, you know, in the data. I find it hard to believe that in the state,
you know,
of Georgia.
David, we've had that same thing happen in Florida. And now that you bring this up, we found it in several counties where there were people on the rolls, for instance, that had all the same birthdays or whatever, and that they said it was people that wanted their information hidden, like a judge or a cop or a witness or something like that. But it wasn't that. So it was nefarious information. And it may be something, it looks like they went in and adjusted the numbers for one and forgot the rest or something like that.
And so what's really strange about this is that when and kind of what's pushing this a little bit as far as trying to figure out what's going on is that when we looked in Forsyth County, Our initial modeling based upon how people voted going into election day said that, you know, that Trump was going to win Forsyth County by a huge margin. All right. And then after election day happened and we looked at numbers, you know, looked at the numbers, he came in about 7,000 votes shy of what we thought it should be. Right. And keep in mind, I'm not putting in like, you know, when I'm talking about modeling, it's really simple. All right. If somebody had voted Democrat in the past, all right, if they had participated in a Democrat, you know, in Democrat primary, all right, and then they participate in Democrat primary runoff, that scores you as a hard Democrat. Mm-hmm. If you did one or two of those things in the past, that's an average Democrat. All right. If you did one of those things in the past, then you're a weak Democrat. And if or one or two of them, if you did it only one time, like in the last 10 years, then you're what we would consider like a swing Democrat. And then we do the same ranking for Republicans. And then anybody else, if you've never participated in a primary or a runoff in either, you know, Republican or Democrat, we don't know what you are. So you're a swing voter, right? In the state of Georgia right now, I think it's like 30% of people in Georgia are swing voters. And up in Forsyth County, it was roughly the same thing. And so when we were modeling swing voters, we figured maybe 52% would vote Republican and 48%, you know, Democrat, not like 70-30, but like mm-hmm. just a smidgen higher, because I mean, it's a pretty conservative, you know, blue collar county. But the numbers came out like wildly different. So the bottom line is that when we look at the numbers in Forsyth County on election day, I think that we had in order to force the numbers to work for what the actual outcome was, I think we had to model that 70% of swing voters were Democrats, and that's just not realistic, not in Forsyth County. So I don't know what the answer is. I'm very grateful and very excited that President Trump won. I think we've got some good stuff going on, I do. You know, you guys know that I've been carrying the torch for get rid of these stupid machines, like for the last couple of years now. Roy Barnes has called me crazy. You know, some of these other politocrats out there have called me crazy too. But Elon Musk, the wealthiest and probably the smartest guy of our lifetime right now, is saying, "I don't trust the machine."
Yeah.
He says, I'm a technologist, and they got to go. He said, I know that you can insert one line of code. So we're going to be pushing to try and get rid of these things. But again, I don't know what happened with these numbers. We're still trying to figure it out. We don't have an answer yet.
Well, we better not ask Charlie McGowan. We'll never find out. Sorry, Charlie, and I couldn't help myself. When David and I spoke of this earlier today, I did a quick little duplicated what you saw just a few moments ago, just to see what I would find in Forsyth County. And it's interesting, Forsyth County, when you look it up in total, it says they had 139,175 votes. And then when you ask it to break those out by gender, it says that they had 62,555 of one gender, 69,535 of another gender, and 507 of other. And that only totals to 132,597, about 6,000, a little bit more difference than what the total would show. So the same finding, maybe even a bit more, because that's close to 2% of the overall number. And 2%'s interesting. That's pretty big chunk. So whatever's causing this seems to be odd and pervasive in a number of different counties. Is that fair?
Yeah, there's a couple counties where we're not seeing it, but in other counties across the state of Georgia, we're seeing it. And it affects like, you know, roughly 3.4 to 4.4% of the total vote, which it's not a rounding error. You know,
right.
I mean, when I think about like the number of police officers that are out there that have said, hey, I don't want to have, I want my information redacted. I get it. I totally understand. Is it roughly 4% of the state population? That's a stretch. I don't think so. So it just, it doesn't, it, right now it's not passing the smell test. And that's kind of what's what's got me interested in trying to figure out what it looks like. And Bill, if you want to, I mean, I've got the website up. I could share it, you know, if you want to.
Sure. If you would like to, go ahead.
Let's see.
I think I have to bring it in, but.
Oh, hang on. Let's see. Election Data Hub. Here we go. Boom. Can you see it?
I'm bringing it in now. There we are.
All right. So now you can see it. So I've got Forsyth County on here, and it says the total turnout was 139,201.
That's interesting, because this afternoon it was 139,175.
Okay. So we're gonna just basically turn off everybody. So it tells you that 139,201 is the number.
Right.
And if I just click on all the males, that's 62,000. All the females, that takes it up to 132. All the others, that takes it up to 132,614.
Right? And that's different than I got earlier today, too. I got 597. So this thing's moving even as we speak. How could that be? This thing was certified. It was done.
It's not supposed to. So 130. Yeah, it's just, I mean, again, it is moving, and it's moving in real time, and it shouldn't be. This is supposed to be, once the election happened, that's it, the end. There's not supposed to be any final adjustments or fine tuning or anything like that. It just doesn't happen.
Come on, they have to be able to go back in and change everything to make it look good. Come on.
Well, I'll be brutally honest with you. This to me is a strange number right here. 82% turnout.
Right.
I mean, I know people are excited about elections, but come on.
Well, the average would be what? Something in the low 70s, maybe high 60s?
Yeah, I mean, in a hotly contested election, probably, you know, 71, 72, 73% or so.
Yeah.
You know, if I clear it, we can go take a look at Fulton County real quick, and it says 71%. All right. Forsyth County, 82%. All right. Gwinnett County, let's take Forsyth off. Gwinnett County, 74%. So again, something's not passing the smell test. Again, I don't know what the answer is, but I have reached out to His Majesty, Gabriel Sterling, and hopefully we'll hear something, but I'm pretty sure he's going to give me the middle finger.
Well, it just means you're number one. Oops. Well, oh,
did we lose him?
I guess. Yeah, I think. Oh, David, if you can hear us, please come back in. Oh goodness. I didn't do that. You didn't do that, right?
No, he just lost the feed.
Oh, goodness.
I was going to ask him about the markets, but I guess we won't.
Well, if he comes back in, we can do that. So, how interesting. So we covered. Here he comes. There we go. Eric, I did not bump you out. I don't know.
No, I hit the wrong button. I was trying to stop presenting, and I clicked the button that said leave studio. So,
oh goodness. Okay. Well, it's good to have you back. I think Todd had a couple of questions for you.
I just wanted to get your opinions on the market. I mean, we're melting up. What's happening?
So there's a couple of interesting things happening right now. One is that your large companies like Nvidia reported earnings today. And I think they're going to do they're probably going to do $200 billion in sales next year. And they have a gross profit margin of like 72%. It's mind-boggling how much money this company makes. And the product that they're making right now, there's 19 times more orders than there is supply. So for every $40,000 chipboard that they're making, they have orders for 19 more. They can't produce them fast enough. So
where is all this production happening? Do you know?
I think the vast majority of it is, I think it's happening. I think it's happening in Taiwan, and I think it's also happening in the US. So they got to have really strict controls over this artificial intelligence engines.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, the computer boards that they're making are $40,000 a piece, and it replaces roughly 1,000, you know, super powerful machines right now. So they've got pricing power, so they're doing really well. But the thing that I'm really excited about that people keep asking me is, what do you think is going to happen? What do you think is going to happen? And what's next? I'm really paid close attention to what President Trump said about making it so that the tax deduction on vehicles purchased becomes 100% deductible on your tax return. Mm-hmm. If the car is made in the United States of America. So that's going to be Tesla, and that's also going to be, it'll be like the Hyundai cars that are made like down in South Georgia. Yeah. If that car is made in the United States, and if the car is made in the United States of America, then you get to write off that tax. And if you know anything about manufacturing, particularly with vehicles, there's a huge number of like tool companies and other companies, yeah, and you know, like custodial companies, everything else that goes into making
the chain behind that.
Yeah, in the 1980s and 1990s, you had Joe Biden, you know, pushing our jobs and outsourcing to China. We had this gigantic, you know, suction out of a, you know, like a whirlpool, just sucking jobs out of the United States. And what President Trump wants to do is going to be really hugely positive for American small business, and it's going to be, you know, reinforcing and creating more jobs. So I'm excited about the future.
Well, let me just put your website up here real quick. us-am.com, usassetmanagement.com. Give
Nice.
Cross a call and talk about your portfolio. If you had somebody die or a divorce or sale of a business or whatever, he's your guy.
Listen, work with somebody who's in your tribe. That's the key thing. Don't work with some grouser that's out there going, oh, Trump's going to destroy the world and everything's going to be awful, and I need to put all my money into cash or whatever. That's just idiotic thinking. So,
and you've got the big man in your office. So, hey, what more do you need?
Listen, come in my office. You can get a picture with him.
I keep expecting a hand to come up and grab your shoulder there. David, thank you again for being with us, my friend.
You're welcome, Gus. Thanks,
David.
All right, so we've got one more thing to cover. We've got precious few minutes. If we can power forward.
Go for it.
One of Trump's statements this week was that we are missing something in the U.S., and that is a religious foundation. He did not specify a particular type. He did say, you know, we need to have the Bible and faith back in the U.S. So let's take a look.
Christianity are the biggest things missing from this country. And I truly believe that we need to bring them back, and we have to bring them back fast. I think it's one of the biggest problems we have. That's why our country is going haywire. We've lost religion in our country. All Americans need a Bible in their home, and I have many. It's my favorite book. It's a lot of people's favorite book. This Bible is a reminder that the biggest thing we have to bring back America and to make America great again is our religion. Religion is so important. It's so missing, but it's going to come back, and it's going to come back strong, just like our country is going to come back strong. In the end, we do not end.
Whoops. So one of the things that I noted there, I didn't mean to say he didn't specify a particular type. He did specify Christianity had been damaged in the U.S. But he does talk about, you know, faith and belief being so important. And I could not fail to note what was happening and was reported out of the Vatican. Now, I'll disclose that I was raised Catholic. I'm a Christian. I believe strongly in Jesus Christ and so forth. Yet I will question an institution when I see things going wrong. And this is behavior going on within the Vatican in front of the Pope in the last few days. I had to show you the ring toss.
that whole papal audience hall is a thing in itself.
That's true. We'll probably report that in one of our segments on Insist on Truth. But it gives you the direct example that there is something very, very wrong. How broad is it? We don't know, but it's pretty broad when this kind of thing is going on in the Vatican. So we're not going to hide from it. We're not going to ignore it. We're gonna talk about it and bring it to you so you can make up your own mind whether you find this to be appropriate or not.
All right, Bill, you got anything else?
That's it. Other than we'll be back on Saturday for the summary of what we find this week, and we'll see you again on Sunday at 2 p.m. for the next Georgia 2024.
Let me just say, if you have a portfolio, go to cdmmetals.com if you want to get your precious metals inside of that to protect from any kind of financial upheaval that's coming. A store of value, precious metals, cdmmetals.com for our audio audience. Thanks, Bill.
That's great. We'll see you next time.